I was enjoying listening to Bart. I see that he got quite involved in his reading. And very interesting stuff for sure. Anyway, hello everybody. And welcome to Thursday 4:30. Another moment in time. You know, it's interesting when you, hi Jacqueline, when you listen or read to spiritual writings, it's amazing how much you can hear and not hear, or listen to and not hear. A lot of it's really meaningless to a lot of people based upon where they're at on the, or in the script, so to speak. But I found it interesting this week as I did some of my research into what I was going to speak on. What I found really interesting was how somebody awakens to the reality or to truth. And it seems like there's a lot of sudden awakening out there. And then some awakenings that may take, as the Buddhists say, many lifetimes. But what I found out in my studies this week is that really there's no sudden awakenings. Everybody that I read about this week, and there was about 10 people that I read about and read some of their writings and their descriptions of their awakening, and inevitably every one of them had some kind of previous or prior searching. But what did surprise them, and why it seemed so sudden, was when it happened. And I was reading Brent Haskell's article, Yeshua, the Script is Written, and I believe it is on Awakening Together website. Because I think I printed it off of there. And over in there, and this article is Yeshua, the Script is Written. And all throughout there, Yeshua is telling Brent, and I believe Brent is the scribe here, that there's nothing you can do to cause this awakening to happen. And when the time comes, the time comes. And it kind of reminded me of the Christian saying that when Jesus returns, he will come unannounced to take all the saved ones to heaven. And I thought, that sounds to me a lot like your moment of awakening happens. You don't know when it's going to happen. It's a big surprise. I think about the only person that I read about that wasn't really totally surprised was the Buddha. I think that all that he went through and all that he learned, and maybe he was surprised. I don't know. But it certainly didn't seem like it. It seemed like a natural progression to the moment he awakened. But there were a few people that I've read about this week that was just absolutely stunning. And one of them was a lady named Susan Siegel. And Susan Siegel was standing at a bus stop, and she was an American but living in Paris at the time. And there's a book written by her, and she actually wrote it, called Collision with the Infinite. And this woman was standing at a bus stop in Paris, France, where suddenly she lost her identity. All traces of Susan disappeared. Just standing there at a bus stop. Now, Susan wasn't a so-called person on the spiritual path, and she had no clue what happened to her. And it took 10 years of her life before she finally came upon a person that explained to her what happened. And all during that 10 years, she thought she was crazy. She visited many psychiatrists, went through all kinds of programs, because when she lost her identity or lost her connection to Susan, what we call the death of the ego, she didn't know this, and she thought she was mentally ill. And finally, at the end of 10 years, when somebody explained to her, and it happened to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist that was familiar with, I believe it's pronounced Advaita, which is Hindu practice of non-duality. And once she discovered what happened to her, her whole life changed. And to make a long story short, she became a teacher of the spiritual path, so to speak. And since she, and by the way, during that 10 years, even though she was an awakened person, she managed to get a degree in psychology, and she actually, you know, was very much a normal person. It's just that she lived in total fear all that time, as she was mentally ill. And by the way, there is a website called spiritualteachers.org. Spiritualteachers.org, and I'll type that in the board. On the board, and at that website, you can actually link to a interview with Susan Siegel, and you really need to read it. It's fascinating what happened to this woman. But she actually had some prior, not spiritual practice, but even as a kid, she used to do some strange things, and I'll let you read the interview to get a background. But that was the most strange and sudden awakening I'd read about so far. There's another guy named Stephen Norquist, and he has a website at, let's see, the website's name is what? I'll find it for you in a minute, but he had a sudden awakening, but he had actually practiced a lot of different things. He got into lucid dreaming and very deeply into that practice, where you can, where you're dreaming and you know you're dreaming, even to the point that he could dream what he wanted to dream. But one day he was either reading or listening to somebody that had awakened, and there was a sudden moment there where something struck a chord, and his awakening happened. And it happened that day, and then it kind of went away, and he came back the next, and over the next two or three days, he was fully awakened, and has been awakened ever since. But he had a really strange, I guess you'd call it, warning about awakening. He almost made it sound like it's something that you better think about before you do, because it's a very, very scary and life-changing event that you may not want to do. He said, because, and he warns the listener that your life will change. You may not come back the same person. You may leave your wife and your family. And he said, even though now that he's awakened, he will not change it, but he says, beware what's going to happen to you. And I thought that was very strange. And I'm going to put on the board his website, Haunted Press.net. And there is a link to a video where he gives a speech about his awakening. Really, really good. I recommend you listen to it or watch it. Very informative. And he's also written a book called Haunted Universe, which I think you can purchase on Amazon or through his website. And I've read it and gone through it twice. And I think that one of the things that really, really, really popped out at me, and I think it almost triggered my awakening, even though it didn't quite, was that he said that you're already awake. You just don't realize it. And I'm thinking, what do you mean I'm already awake and I just don't realize it? And I thought about that. I contemplated that for a while, for actually a few days now. And I said, well, what if I do accept my life and where everything that I experience as my being awake? And it really struck a chord. And even though I didn't enter that awakening state, I know I didn't, what I realized was that you are awake, but it's just how you interact with what you're seeing. What are you seeing and what do you do with it? And it became obvious to me that if I just observe everything without any kind of reaction, neither drawing towards it as liking or averting myself from it and going away from disliking, then I'm not part of the dream. and I realize that this is my practice. This is true to my practice. And I think it's, for me, better than meditation. I'll read something to you written by a lady, T.S. Eliot. No, Bernadette Roberts, who's a Christian mystic. And she wrote, "It is somewhat facetious that people look within themselves to find their quotation marks, true self, when self is the one looking in." I'll read that again. "It is somewhat facetious that people look within themselves to find their true self when self is the one looking in." I thought that was amazing. Yeah, if you're looking in, who's looking in? Nobody other than self. Now, granted, you may be looking in with the trimmings and the taint of the ego, but still, you are nobody but yourself in the first place. I want to go and speak about a few other people that became awakened. One of them is Jesus, and I was listening to Regina Dawn Akers on her weekly discussion, where she was speaking about the Book of Mark in her book, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, where Jesus' awakening apparently happened during his three trips in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane? Garden of Gethsemane. And his awakening, his final awakening, and this was actually kind of new to me, I really hadn't thought of Jesus as going through a process of awakening. Because a lot of his teachings previous to that trip to the Garden of Gethsemane appeared that he was already awakened because of their depth of wisdom and knowledge. But I realize now that, no, we hear a lot of wisdom, a lot of teaching that is deeply profound from a lot of people, including people right here in our organization. Regina is one, of course. So it's not as though we have to be awakened to guide ourselves and the people listening to us, but it's just part of the script. And you may even be teaching, and that moment of awakening hits you. We don't know when it's going to come. And I'll read a little bit from Brent Haskell's article, Jeshua, the Script is Written. And the paragraphs are not listed, so not numbered, so I'll just read. How can you find the peace of God? Do you remember that I have told you have but one choice in this world, To which voice shall you listen to? One choice. To which voice shall you choose to listen? I have told you that there is nothing you can do to hasten the moment of yours or your brother's awakening. Now, I find this interesting because later on in the in this writing, Jeshua says, Can you speed up your time? No, indeed. Can you be joyful in your life? Yes, you can. What happens if you truly become silent and open your being and open your heart, if you will, to the presence of the Holy Spirit, to my presence, to the voice of God? What happens if you do that? Time itself collapses. I have told you that as well. Miracles collapse time. Those are not new words to you, are they? The only place that time can collapse is in your silence. The only activities that can possibly bring you to the point of time collapsing are those that bring you joy. And what is the measure of your joy? I have also told you this many times. Now, this says that it's kind of a contradiction that there's nothing you can do to hasten your awakening, but yet there's something you can do to collapse time. And this kind of met as a conflict with me. I'm thinking, well, what are you saying here? And I realized what it's saying is that you may collapse time by accepting the Holy Spirit's will versus yours. You can do all the things that hasten your joy. And it goes on to say, if you believe you are experiencing joy, then ask yourself, can anything of this world threaten my joy? And if the answer is yes, then it is not the joy of God. So, we are attempting to experience the joy of God by the way we react to the script. And along that way, your awakening will occur. But don't think that you're hastening it. Don't think that you're speeding it up. Don't think that you're doing anything that is a script within a script that leads you to awakening. Because the moment that you do, your ego is entering the picture trying to orchestrate the event. What you must do is seek the joy of God in the script by not being part of the dream. And I see that the clock on the wall is approaching 5 o'clock, and I will drop the mic and let the next presentation come on. And thank you very much for your audience. And if there's anybody on the radio, I thank you also. And have a nice day.